Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always come to
gambling. What do you think about gambling?
You're
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
You're not coming out late. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park.
Hey.
What's up, world?
All
right, we got it all set. We had a bit of technical difficulties, but we are back. We're here. It's Inside the Park. Believe it or not, I got Hank and Mike with me this week. Hank, Mike, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Mike, you there?
I am here. You know what? I go away, the Tigers go to first place. What's up with that? You guys should keep me away all the time.
We were actually thinking about trading you. Maybe we could win the World Series if we trade you. it is a trade deadline and all. And, you know, that's going to be the dominating subject, I think, for tonight's show. We're going to cover everything dealing with the trade deadline, who's been traded, who's going to get traded, I'm going to take my chance to gloat a little bit on this Cole Hamels deal, but let's go ahead and jump right into it. While everybody was asleep, Cole Hamels got signed for $144 million. Mike, I got to get your take on this. You were a big proponent of shipping Cole out of there. What do you think about this Cole Hamels deal? Do you like it for the Phillies? Is it way too much money? Should they have cut their losses? Where are you at with this one?
You know what? I think that's a lot of money to commit to a pitcher, especially a guy who may be the third best pitcher on your staff. Some days he's your best pitcher, but, man, that's a lot of money to commit. I guess the Phillies are entering Yankee and Red Sox territory where the money doesn't really matter. It's more about keeping the talent and the talent base. So if you're Philly, you like the deal. You kept a quality all-star pitcher. If you're a team that doesn't have that type of resources, you would never make that deal.
Interesting. Hey, do you have a fresh take on this Cole Hamels deal?
I do. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week, you know, RJ, and we was kind of on the same page here, not thinking that they were going to get rid of Cole Hamels. You know, being a local kid and stuff and being a little bit younger than the other two horses that they got, I saw it making more sense that they would go that way and even keep him. And, you know, I'm even of the belief that, you know, if they're going to look to deal anybody, it may be the Cliff Lee or the Roy Halladay, you know, and keep a Cole Hamels because, again, you know, he's a younger pitcher. He may be the third best now, but I think if they're looking to build around, I see them building around the Cole Hamels.
Okay, well, that leads me to this point here. We've been talking about the Phillies pretty much all year. They're an old ball club. They've got a lot of money tied up in Ryan Howard, a lot of money now tied up in Cole Hamels, who is, you know, fairly young pitcher. But they also got big money in Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay. So how do the Phillies get better with all these huge contracts, Mike?
That's the tough part. I think you turn Cole Hamels into a gold mine if you can. But I think probably the issue that they have, obviously they want to sign him, and you were correct, so let's give you props on that they got to keep their talent there. They're not going to trade it away. But when you've got just a couple months left on the guy, you're not going to get fair value for him. So, you know, the only way you do that is if you trade that guy with a year left on his contract, which the Phillies, you know, they were poised to win this year. So they, you know, they weren't going to do that. But now they got to look at trading other players. I mean, Victorino's on the block. As Hank said, Cliff Lee's rumored to be on the block. Rollins is even being rumored to be traded. And Hunter Pence, who is a player that I really, really like. And I'm sure you guys like to see him in a Tiger uniform as well. And, you know, he was a big trade acquisition for him last year. So it's tough. It's tough. You know, like I said, maybe they want to go to the Red Sox, Yankees route and just start signing players as free agency, but not a lot of value in that.
All right. Hank, this one's for you, man. They've got to move some contract. Mike touched on Cliff Lee being on the market. You got Hunter Pence. If you had your say, who are you moving, Roy Halladay or Cliff Lee?
I think I'm moving Cliff Lee. And I'm looking at Jimmy Rollins, too. And I'm also looking at Posito Polanco. Listen, there are some teams this year that's making a push that we didn't expect, you know, also known as your Oakland A's, maybe the Baltimore Orioles, you know, to a lesser extent, you know, even the Mets. And what you got to look at is what is Philadelphia Phillies going to do now? Okay, you've got the Nationals that's clearly proven they are for real this year. You got Atlanta. You've still got the Dodgers. Philly has to look at getting younger. Okay, these teams probably got some prospects. I don't know if I think Philly came in this year and they thought they had a chance to win. Even I thought they had a chance to win, but it don't look that way. So at this point, I think the Cole Hamels signing really says, okay, it's time to move some of these big contracts if we can, try to get some prospects, try to get younger so they can compete in the East. You know, I think that I don't think that they can go the Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees way. I think they tried that. They've gotten to the World Series with this group, They've won the World Series with this group. I think it's time for them to get younger. So, again, to your point, I think I'm moving Cliff Lee.
Okay, okay. Well, the other big move late at night while most of us were sleeping was the Dodgers picked up Hanley Ramirez. They pretty much picked up Hanley for a bag of balls and an agreement that they would pay the rest of Hanley's contract. Hank, I got to get your opinion on this one, seeing as you've been our Dodgers slappy for the majority of the season here. What do you think? Is Hanley going to catapult the Dodgers back on top in the West?
I think Hanley is a good pick for the Dodgers. He wasn't happy in Miami. I think, you know, he tried to make it happen, but he was not happy moving to third base from shortstop. He was not happy with that. And unfortunately, it looked like Miami is just a dysfunctional family out there. I think it's going to work for the Dodgers in the long run, but I still think the Dodgers need to get another pitcher. They got that bat now to help out Ethier and to help out Kemp. And it's going to be tight in the West. It's still going to be tight in that playoff spot. I still believe that. I still believe they got a good shot. But I still think they need another pitcher.
You neglected the bigger question. Is Hank happy with Hanley Ramirez and the Dodgers? You know,
I am happy with Hanley Ramirez. I wish Hanley Ramirez was in Detroit. You know, if you have to know no truth, I think, yes, I am happy with that.
Mike, do you think Hanley has anything left? I mean, he's been dragging for the past 2 years. He hasn't been the all-star Hanley Ramirez that we've all come to know. What's your take? Is this guy still a ball player?
Yeah, I think he's a good ball player. He can be a great ball player still. What is he? He's 29 years old. You know, they obviously owe him some money, but I think a change of scenery, this is a low-risk option for the Dodgers. You know, as you said, they didn't trade a lot to get him. You know, they've got new ownership. They need some star power out there. It reminds me a little bit of when Nomar came over from the Red Sox, except Hanley's a little bit younger than Nomar was when he came over and hasn't been injured as much as Nomar was. But he's got some cachet to the name, right? And then you start adding people to that lineup, and if he comes anywhere close to where he's been, now he's been on a 2 to 3 year decline, but you know, if he clicks, man, it's a great pickup for the Dodgers. So I like it.
Yeah, and don't undersell the fact that, you know, the Dodgers saw the writing on the wall. The Phillies have been talking to Cole Hamels for the past 2 days about getting a deal done. The Dodgers, as we all know, got new ownership, so they really needed to make a play for a big-time ball player. I mean, there's not a lot of free agents that are going to be out there next year, so they saw Hanley out there. I mean, they've got it wrapped up for the next 2-3 years, so they jumped on it because they've got to do something to change that team around, get fans energized about the Dodgers. You know, they were Google-wide over Cole Hamels, who was about to re-up with the Phillies. So, you know, I like the move. They definitely need to make a splash, get a big-time ball player. By no means am I saying the Dodgers are done, but they needed to make this move, and they didn't give up a whole lot to get it. So I it'll be interesting to see if it works out.
Right. And really, what's right? They traded a prospect. But D. Gordon's on the DL right now with hand surgery, or a broken bone in his hand. So, and D's giving you, what, a 220 batting average? So you move Hanley over to short. That frees you up to use D. Gordon to ease him back in the lineup, get his back going, pinch run him a little bit. It was a position of need. And Hank, to your point, he's a guy that, yeah, I would take him on my team as well, as long as you're not taking away at-bats from some guy who's really producing for you. So, you know, where's the risk?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have to look at where that Dodgers team is. Like, you know, RJ, you've been saying all year they've been doing it with smoke and mirrors. But nevertheless, they've pretty much stayed in the race the entire time. So you go add a quality player. I still think is a quality player in Hanley Ramirez. And let's face it, let's look at his history in the last couple of years in Miami. He has not been happy. He has not been happy in Miami. He was sick of the losing. And then you go and you move his position. He was not a happy player. He's still a quality player, still young, and I think that he's going to add a lot to the Dodgers. He's going back to his natural position, and we're going to see.
Yeah, well, you know, I was actually watching the Dodgers game today. It's on ESPN. And they said Mattingly asked Hanley where he wanted to play. Hanley's in the lineup at third base today. He said he wanted to go to third. So I don't know what their plan is for him, but Hanley seems to be all right with playing third as of right now.
Well, we'll see. Amazing how that attitude.
All right, unless you guys were under a rock this past week, I'm sure we've all heard Ichiro is going to the Yankees. You know, everybody, all the media was all over this move. Here come the Yankees once again. My brother's hitting me up like, yo, do you like this Ichiro move to the Yankees? I don't get it. Maybe you guys can help me get it, but Ichiro's batting what? Isn't he under 250 and has been pretty bad for the past year and a half? Brian Cashman was talking about platooning Ichiro. They'll probably sit when there's a left-hander on the mound. Am I missing something? This doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. Hank, is Ichiro the magic elixir to save the Yankees from years of not winning the championship?
I'm confused by why the Yankees went with Ichiro. I really am. You would think that, you know, with what they would need to do in order to get to the World Series is to add another pitcher. Now, you look at the Yankees almost, you know, they were on a record pace of scoring more than three runs a game, you know, until they ran into Oakland and their pitching staff. I don't think the Yankees have a problem scoring runs. Moreover, I thought that what Raul Ibanez, Nick Swisher, and Andrew Jones were doing in the outfield was just fine. In fact, their numbers are better than what Ichiro numbers are right now. They're not getting the Ichiro, the 200 hit a year Ichiro. So I'm not real sure. If you go on a change of scenery, is going to make him a better ball player. I don't think that's the case. I think Ichiro is a consummate professional. I just think he's old. He's played a lot of years in Japan. He's played a lot of years here. So I'm like you, RJ. I'm confused by this move.
Mike, what side are you on with this thing?
I view it like a trade of Juwan Howard. You know, it's a name you know, but he's not what he used to be. He's just hanging around at this point. But, you know, I think the thing that gets overlooked with Ichiro is he's an amazing defensive player. Very, very good defensive player. So he brings that to you. He's got a veteran presence. He's not going to be overshadowed by the Yankees, you know, the hometown there, the pressure. I think it's a middling move at best, and it deepens their bench a little bit. But, you know, the name is bigger than the deal is. So I didn't pay it too much attention. It's a good thing for ESPN, and beyond that, that's about it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people forget, you know, while Ichiro has only been in, well, I say only, but he's been in the majors for 10 years. He also has 9 years of Japanese league experience on those legs. So I mean, he's been playing ball for 19 years on a professional level. He's 38 now. I told my brother there's nothing to see here. You really, like Barkley said, nobody beats Father Time. Father Time's undefeated. And, you know, the Yankees have made some interesting moves, some good moves that have worked out with some older ball players. But I don't see this one. I mean, he's going to be a platoon player. I mean, that says it all. For the amount of attention this deal got, he's going to be a platoon player.
Right.
Nothing to see here.
And you know,
what?
You want to ask yourself the question whether or not Nick Swisher is hurt a lot more than what they're saying. What do you think?
Is Swisher? I didn't even know he was hurt.
He went out for a little bit. I think he tweaked something. And then shortly after he got hurt in a game, the deal broke with Ichiro. So is he back now?
I have no idea.
There you go, Yankee.
I couldn't tell you, but he's not Swisher's replacement. I can tell you that. But the other deal that day that kind of got overshadowed was this Anibal Sanchez and Omar Infante to the Tigers for Jacob Turner. Mikey, you're just gonna have to bear with us for a minute. Hey, who won this trade?
You know, I can't find anything wrong with this trade, really, on either side, RJ. Let's look at what the Marlins got. You got Jacob Turner, okay, a 21-year-old pitcher. We've seen him here a couple of times. You know, I had some concerns because he had a dead arm in the spring training. But you look at the other two young players he got, Brantley, I believe, who is the catcher, and then another player that was thrown in there. They didn't have to give up Castellanos, which is, you know, the big fish in their farm system. And then you look at what the Tigers got. You know, you go and get you solidify second base, which you the players that they had playing there, Worth, Santiago, and Ryan Rayburn. You know, they all three of them. I think it was batting maybe a combined 140 or something like that. Where Omar Infante is batting 285 this year. He's a solid defensive player. I mean, nothing to really jump up and down and run around the house about. But nevertheless, what you do is you have a professional second baseman playing second base that knows how to hit pitching. Then you throw in Anibal Sanchez. Now, this man, he's a strikeout pitcher. Okay, I know he's had his ups and downs, but who hasn't in Miami this year? But I think that he is an upgrade. You got choices between him and Rick Porcello as your fourth. If he's more solid, that's going to help you. And I think it's a good trade. I think it's an excellent trade for the Detroit Tigers. I think it can prove to be a good trade for Miami, although I think the Tigers got the better end of this because I can't think of a prospect yet that the Tigers have traded that has really panned out for another team.
Mike, are you familiar at all with Jacob Turner? I know everybody in Detroit knows him. He was rated the number one prospect for some time with the Tigers. Are you familiar at all with Turner, Mike?
I'm a little bit familiar with him, and obviously you guys have been fawning over him like a debutante at a prom night. So, I understand he's pretty good. And, to answer your question as far as who wins these trades, to me, the first year out, the guys who get the veterans are always the one who win the trade the first year, even if they don't do much because the rookies weren't doing anything for them because they're not on the roster, okay? And I hate to say this, you learn who wins the deal 2-3 years down the road, but to me the question is, you look at the end of the year, and if Infante and Sanchez help the Tigers, win the division, go to the playoffs, go to the series, and then they never do another thing in the world, and Jacob Turner comes up and is a very solid major leaguer, I still think it's a tie. Because getting to the playoffs and experience postseason success is a rare thing. And you guys as Tigers fans prior to the last 4 or 5 years understand that. When you get your shot to go, you got to go. And I would never fault the Tigers because they gave up somebody who wasn't doing anything for them this year, wasn't helping them win any pennants or World Series, and they got two guys that solidified something for them.
Well let's back our way into this a little bit. So, Mike, do you think Anibal Sanchez and Omar Infante are the pieces that can catapult the Tigers to go make a run in the playoffs, a deep run?
Well, first of all, I think Infante plugs a bigger hole than Sanchez does. Infante, since he left Detroit, is a 300 hitter. He's a solid bat guy. Like Hank said, he's nothing special with the glove, but he helps solidify that lineup. Now you look at a guy for Detroit in the nine hole, and you got a guy who's just setting up the top of your order, And if for whatever reason, who's the outfielder you guys have hitting second now? His name escapes me.
Quinton Berry,
yeah. So if Berry starts to struggle a little bit, now you've got a place to put Berry at the nine hole, and you can put Infante at second. It just gives you a lot of flexibility. Let me put it this way. It's not a move that takes a mediocre team and makes them a great team. What it does is it takes a solid team and just fortifies them and gives them even less weaknesses. So that's what the trade is for me. It's about a good team getting better and a team that woefully underperformed in the first 100 games finally getting its act together and learning how to win. So I like it.
Okay. So us Tiger fans aren't looking at this with rose-colored glasses. The Reds fans are on board.
You know what? If you do what you got to do to win, because there's no guarantee next year that you're going to be in the position to do it. So, man, why not?
All right. We also we've been talking about the Pirates. Should they be buyers? Should they be sellers? It looks like they're dipping their toe in the water. They signed Wandy Rodriguez, or I should say traded for him. Anybody want to tackle this one? Does Wandy Rodriguez push the Bucks into the playoffs?
You know what, to me, I was a little bit surprised by this move. So Wandy's had a sub-4 ERA for the last 3 years. Good left-handed arm. He's a number three at best. To me, the issue with the Pirates is that they're a staff that's full of threes and fours. And you know, they got a lot of off-speed guys. They've got Correa out there. A.J. Burnett doesn't do a lot for me. In fact, I saw a report today saying now that the Pirates have acquired Wandy Rodriguez, they may be looking to move Kevin Correa. And I'm like, okay, isn't that kind of the same guy almost for results? So the Pirates need bats. That's what they need. And to get Rodriguez in there didn't make a lot of sense to me because they're acting like he's a number two or number one, and he's just not. So this has got to be the first of a couple moves for them. So he didn't do much for me.
What do you – hold on 1 second. Hank. I want to get the resident NL Central expert's opinion on this one. Where do you see the Pirates finishing up if everything stays consistent? You know, you still got Votto who's out for a little while. Where do the Pirates finish up, things staying consistent?
To me, they're a third-place team. They're behind the Cardinals. I don't think that they and I've got a guy that I work with that he's – and he's not a Pirates fan, but he's like – you're underestimating these guys. Neil Walker's hitting. Pedro Alvarez is hitting. And to me, it's I'm kind of a show-me guy on this, all right? I want to show me you can do that. And the Pirates hitters, other than McCutchen, weren't hitting until June. So they've been hitting the last 2 months. It's fantastic. Their pitching staff is lights out. But they are going to have to win with pitching. And that's all there is to it. If at any point the starting pitchers or Hanrahan falter, the Pirates are toast. They need another bat. They need another two bats in that lineup. I just don't see them competing with the Cardinals or the Reds with what they've got right now.
All right, Hank, it's your show. What do you got?
Well, you know what? I'm with you on this one. I did not understand the Wandy Rodriguez move. Wandy Rodriguez has been getting hammered for most of the year. And, you know, he's got a career 4 ERA, actually. And I'm with Mike. I couldn't understand. We talked about this, too, that they're an exciting young team, but they need another bat. That Andrew McCutchen has basically been carrying his team on his back for most of the second half, for the most of before the All-Star break. I don't understand this move at all by them. And like you said, he's a number three at best. But only thing he does is really solidifies why they need another bat because he's going to give up some hits.
Who would you go out there and get, Hank? What bat would you see fitting into the Pirates lineup?
Listen, there's a couple of them. You know, we've heard a lot of names out there for Pittsburgh. But to be honest with you, I'm looking right back down the street. I'm looking east. If I'm Pittsburgh and I'm trying to see what Philadelphia is doing, you know, and I want to see, you know, you got a couple of guys out there that's on the block. I think that if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm going to check on Shane Victorino. I don't think they can get Hunter Pence. I think they're going to ask for too much. I think that he's young, and I think they, and quite frankly, I think Philly would keep him. But I think that Shane Victorino is on the block, and I think that if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm going after him and see if I can't get him out there, move him to left field.
All right, Mike, who's that bat? As a Reds fan, who's that one bat you don't want to see the Pirates pick up?
See, I'm a big fan of Hunter Pence, so I'd hate for him to go there because I hate to say a five-tool player, but he's a good player, and I like how he plays, and he's young. He's going to be there for a couple years, so if Philly's giving him up, Pittsburgh definitely has the prospects to get him. More than likely, what I think is going to happen with Pittsburgh, though, is that I think Aramis Ramirez is a guy that may end up over there. Other than that, I mean, I'm looking middle of the road guys that they've done in the past, you know, Derek Lee, Ryan Ludwig, those type of hitters. I think they wanted to get Upton and they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't pull the deal, or Arizona wasn't willing to pull it.
They're in a tough position because there's not a great trade market for guys that are out there. And really, if there was a guy that they could have got, tell me why Pittsburgh does not have Hanley Ramirez on their team right now.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, because they're giving a guy away for free.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that once again, we talk about panache, right, being able to sell something. And even if the skills aren't where they were, Hanley Ramirez is a professional, and every time he comes up to the plate, you got to know where he's at. So to me, that was the guy they should have taken care of. You telling me Clint Barmas is the reason why they don't have Hanley Ramirez? That's just silly.
Not a Clint Barmas fan, huh?
You know, he's a dime a dozen shortstop. You know, decent glove.
I agree. It's just funny. All right, fellas. That's all for the guys that have been moved. We're going to do our dog of the week, and then we'll come back and talk about the players who have yet to be moved. You know, we'll get into where you see them going and or if they get moved or not. So here we go, dog of the week.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital dog of the week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
All right, Mike, you've been out for a little bit. We'll let you jumpstart this thing. Who's your dog of the week?
For a little bit. You make it sound like I've been dogging it like Hanley Ramirez. That's harsh, man. I was with the in-laws. I was working hard, all right?
Tell us anything.
My dog of the week, you know what? I went a little bit different this week, and my dog of the week is all these guys in the next 2 weeks, and right now it's going to be Wandy Rodriguez. It's going to be Ichiro Suzuki. It's going to be Hanley Ramirez. These guys that have been playing on dog teams, and guess what? They're playing on a competitor, on a winning team now. Good for them. You know, hopefully they make a big impact. Those, and we'll have some more dogs of the week coming up as, you know, the Brewers fall out of contention, the Blue Jays fall out of contention, the Indians fall out of contention, and guys that are not used to winning all of a sudden get to taste it as they go to a new team.
All right, Hank, who you got?
Okay, I'm going to do like Mike did me last time. We're going to make all the AAA ball clubs the dog of the week this week. Since he's gone ahead and picked up all these guys like he did with me the last time when I picked the American League East to make him the dog of the week. So, touche. But my dog of the week this week is, let me just throw some numbers at you guys. Okay, over the last 10 ball games, not the series included, 5 home runs, 9 RBIs, 14 hits, 359 batting average against the Baltimore Orioles, which were second place. The Angels, which were in second place. The White Sox, who was in first place. Miguel Cabrera has been on fire the second half of the season. He has just taken his game to another level. One thing about him, what makes him a great ball player, is consistency. He is a consistent hitter. He still leads the American League in hits. And, again, my dog of the week.
I can't argue with that one.
Brilliant.
I'm going all the way to the left this week, fellas. My dog of the week is a guy you guys have probably never heard of. His name is Larry Lester. And I got dipped in the eternal fire of baseball nerddom this past weekend. Guys, I went to my first Sabre conference, and this was a Sabre conference on the Negro Leagues. It was put on by Larry Lester. This guy has done some amazing research on Negro League baseball. He was doing it at a time when nobody was doing it. He put on an awesome conference. I can't wait to go back next year. I was fortunate enough to meet some of the former Detroit stars, met a beautiful elderly lady who used to own the Stars, actually. And I wanted to give kudos to Larry Lester for putting on an awesome conference. I had a great time, and I'm looking forward to going back next year. So Larry Lester is my dog of the week.
Great.
And check out his website if you get a chance. He's got some awesome research projects up there that he's worked on. So that's my dog of the week. Series of the week. Hank, who you got?
Well, you know what? I got to stay consistent, Donna. So I'm going to the National League. I'm looking at a first place versus a second place in the National League West. I'm going with the Dodgers and the Giants. This is going to be a make-or-break series for the Dodgers, in my opinion. They can't take two or three or stay close. That's it. I'm going to eat them. I'm going to have to buy you that pop.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. And, you know, that's my series of the week as well, man. I looked at the board. Dodgers-Giants, the old-time rival, first and second place. And West on the line, let's get it on. That's where I'm going. How about you, Mike?
All right. First of all, I got to rewind for a second, and I apologize for it. I can't believe this slipped my mind. And, Hank, I did a poor job of it. How could I not have Barry Larkin as my dog of the week? My favorite Red ever growing up into the Hall of Fame. Just fantastic. Our guy who played for the same team for 19 years. Class act, another guy that if you read the back of his baseball card, you wouldn't know how good he was. But, you know, watching Barry Larkin play for so many years, you learn how you're supposed to play the game, how you're supposed to hustle, how you're supposed to play defense, how you're supposed to go and hit the ball to the right side of the infield when you got a guy on second base to move him over to third with nobody out. So I got to do a replay and put him out there for my dog of the week. Having said that, series of the week, this is a really interesting week for me just because you've got the, you know, we're talking trade deadline, but you've got all these teams now, especially the second wild card, that think they're in it, but they're not quite, and maybe they're not. I think this week you saw Milwaukee drop six in a row, including two games in a row to the Phillies where they had five-plus run leads or four-plus run leads. But to me, Philly at Washington's is a big series. One, it continues to legitimize Washington as a first-place team. And second, you know, if Philly loses two out of three, you know, I think we're going to start seeing those other pieces fall. We may see Cliff Lee get traded. We may see Hunter Pence. Shane Victorino is halfway out the door right now. So, to me, it's series like that. And I try to find a couple other ones. The problem is, you know, the AL East, you have all these guys that are 10 games out, but they're like three games out of the wild card. So other than a couple teams really running away from it, it's a pretty middling year as far as records go. As long as you're at 500, you're within two games of a wild card. So I'm going Philly-Washington for series of the week.
Okay, and I think we'll save the ridicule for you forgetting about Barry Larkin until next week, just because we're
that's
running short on
you
time.
Although,
Barry Larkin looks like he could still, doesn't he?
He sure did, didn't he? He looked good.
Did you watch the induction ceremony, Mike?
I did. With Eric Davis introducing them and putting on that video introduction. I mean, those were my guys growing up. You know, as a kid, going to the series, Eric Davis. You know, I'm sure you guys have seen this YouTube guy with the wiffle ball bat, and he can replicate anybody's stance with the wiffle ball bat.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah, it's hilarious. But I just remember Eric Davis standing straight up, right? And the guy was like 6'3", 160. I mean, he was a string bean. And he'd wave that bat up there, and he'd be chomping on that gum, waiting to go. Or maybe it was dip. I don't know. I was young. And then, bam. And him and Larkin on those late 80s or mid-80s 1990 World Series team, man, those were some of my favorite players ever. And that's where the fandom, as you grow up, that's what you hold on to. So, I mean, that was cool. You know, the Big Red Machine's awesome, but I'm a little, unlike Hank, I wasn't really cognizant of that.
Hey, Mike, we won't tell anybody. You can tell us, man. Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. But what I loved is when Larkin was being interviewed, and he said, you know, everyone talks about the Big Red Machine, and they got all these guys, but guess what? We got somebody now, too. And I think that was Eric Davis who said that. He said, we got one, too, now. And
yeah.
Cool, because that was my team. Those were my guys.
Yeah, I may or may not have tried to mimic Eric Davis's batting stance a couple times when I was a kid.
Man, him and Daryl Strawberry were the coolest. And talk about two guys who grew up together in L.A., and just two amazing ball players. And if you think about it, they were shaped unlike other ball players at the time, right? You go back and look at videos of those guys, and they're so skinny, and they're athletic. Eric Davis stealing 80 bases a year, hitting 35 home runs. That had not been done before. And then you got Strawberry coming up doing kind of the same thing. And even nowadays, you don't have players that look like that anymore. You know, they're beefier. They kind of look like football players. These guys, man, they were jackrabbits. They could jump out of the building. They could hit it out of the park. And they could, you know, I remember Eric Davis to this day leading off first base in Candlestick Park. And they went for a pickoff throw on him. It gets by the first baseman. Eric Davis scored on a wild pickoff. He scored. That's how fast that guy was.
Eric Davis was an amazing defender, too. I mean, you talking about going up over a wall to pull one back. I mean, I saw him pull one back, and it looked like his hip was at the wall's edge. I mean, he was amazing. I mean, he was an amazing athlete. He really was. I loved watching Eric Davis play.
Hey, Hank, you know what I'm going to take from this conversation?
Right.
I think this is the first time we've heard Mike pop Cincinnati Reds Woods.
I know, isn't it?
Calm down, Mike. Calm down.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm a geek boy, man. You know, those were my teenage guys right there, you know? That's and, you know, if you go in my basement now, I got some pictures of Eric Davis, Barry Larkin, Sean Casey, Aaron Boone even, maybe Tom Browning, all those guys.
Casey made the wall?
Do I what?
Casey made the wall?
He did. Casey, you know, how do you not like Sean Casey? Sean Casey was a good guy. He still is a good guy.
Yeah.
God, I wish he could. You know, he was the only guy that I remember. He had a running coach for the Reds. They had a guy trying to teach that kid to run. If there was ever a player who ran like a three-legged fat kid, it was Sean Casey with his arms up, way up high. You guys seen him run. He's hilarious to watch run.
Oh, yeah. He was with the Tigers for a minute. I saw him get thrown out from outfield running the first.
Yeah, I did too. I remember that.
And I imagine he laughed, man. He thought that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. All right, fellas. This is what we're going to do to continue our trade deadline talk. I'm going to throw a name out there to you guys. I want you to tell me, first of all, if they're getting traded or not by the 31st. That's the deadline. And then if you think they are getting traded, where you see them getting moved to? And we got to throw this caveat out there to Hank. Hank, only one team, please.
Okay, got you.
All right, first up, Justin Upton. Hank, is Justin Upton getting traded?
I'm struggling with this one, RJ. I don't think that Arizona gives up on this kid. To me, that's just a white flag of surrender. I mean, He's young. He's an all star. You know, he's just got to mature. I'm gonna say no. I don't think they move him.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you. I mean, it's hard to believe that they would keep him after all they put this guy through. But if they were to move him, I think they should have done it sooner rather than later because, he's losing games and he could be playing for another team. And B, you don't want a guy sitting on your team who you pretty much told you're out of here. And once you tell a guy that, you got to move him. And they haven't yet, which leads me to believe they're going to keep him around. Mike, where are you at on Upton?
Upton's not getting moved. I'd look for a couple other guys getting moved on that team, though. I'd look for Jason Kubel to be gone, hitting 322 home runs. And a guy that intrigues me who's had a year and a half down is Chris Young. But here's another guy, great athlete, can steal some bases. He's just not hitting right now, but when he's right, he's real good. This guy who was an all-star, I believe, 2 years ago. But I'd look for him to get moved. I think they can get a little bit back for him.
All right, Mike, let's keep it in Arizona. Steven Drew, is he on the way out? Much, you know, the owner was talking about he wanted to see Steven Drew back on the field. He's finally back. He's appears to be healthy. Were they trying to get him on the field so they could move him?
Yeah, I think if they can move Steven Drew, they will.
You're not going to get much back for him. So, I mean, if you want to ask me who's going to get a mid-tier shortstop with an attitude problem and a big brother who's an even bigger errant, I don't know. More than likely, you're going to have somebody come down with an injury. This is a guy, well, not that the Dodgers got Ramirez, they don't need him. Maybe this is somewhere where Pittsburgh thinks it's an upgrade or not. I think he gets moved, but it's for a bag of balls.
All right, Hank, where are you at? Steven Drew.
I think he gets moved. And I was thinking about where would he go? You know, you got some teams out there that all of a sudden, oh, by the way, they're in the hunt. So I looked around and said, who would need a shortstop? And I go right to the Oakland A's. Oakland A's has got a lot of pitching. Arizona will look for some pitching. They have basically a bag of balls as far as hitters is concerned, playing shortstop in Eric Spartan and Brandon Hicks. So I look at Steven Drew. I look at a team like Oakland probably making a look for him.
You know, it's funny. I actually read today Oakland was in on Hanley Ramirez, and they kind of got cold feet when Hanley got hurt where he punched a fan or something and cut his hand. But they were actually going to end up paying half of Hanley's salary to pick him up. And then the Marlins were able to find the Dodgers who were willing to pay all his salary, and Oakland lost out. So it would have been interesting to see Oakland as buyers again. Let's see. Zach Greinke. Hank, Zach Greinke getting moved.
This is another one that I'm struggling with. And the reason why I'm struggling with it is because Zach Greinke, the Milwaukee Brewers are having a bad season. Okay? We agree with that. They're probably not going to make the playoffs this year, but this was a team that made it to the NLCS last year. Okay? And so they lost Prince, and they kind of like fell apart. My gut tells me that if he was going to be gone, he'd have been gone by now. So I don't think they're going to move him. But if I had to pick a team that would make a splash and get him, I would say the Chicago White Sox. This looked like something that smacks of the White Sox getting an 11th-hour pitcher that to help out their pitching staff to go with Chris Sale to try to get over and get past the Tigers.
Zach Greinke will be a Brave by the end of the week. You can book it. they're gonna move him. They can't afford to pay him next year. He's gone. He's gonna be a Brave. Book it. What do you say, Mike?
Well, apparently he's gonna be a Brave. Book it. What else can I say?
There it is. Next.
No, I like it. You know what? Hank actually stole my thought on that one. I think this is a Kenny Williams deal. And absolutely he's getting traded. The Brewers offered him six figures, over $100 million a number of weeks ago. And this is a come on, who's his agent? Super agent? Boris. He's a Boris client, right?
Right.
Is he?
I believe he is.
I don't think so.
They already offered the money. So here's a guy who's got – he doesn't like the stress. He gets anxiety from being in big cities. He's not pitching for the Yankees or the Red Sox. It's got to be buyer beware. And the real interesting thing about Zach Greinke is, first off, he's been pitching with the Brewers for over a season and a half now. He's 15-0 in Miller Park with a 2.2 ERA. He's a Cy Young pitcher there. Outside of Miller Park, he's 8-9. With a 4.57 ERA, so you gotta be a little bit wary of what you're getting here, and for the Brewers, if he's not gonna sign, you gotta trade him. You gotta get rid of him. So I'm going White Sox, even though RJ says Braves.
Look it, going to the Braves with the high school in Florida. I remember when he was a free agent, he was interested in the Braves. They just got dumped by Ryan Dempster. That's what's going to happen.
Makes sense.
All right, James Shields. There's been a lot of talk about the Rays moving Shields, and I don't know that it's because, you know, they don't think they can win. I think the Rays are just looking at it as a strategic move. I mean, pitchers are at a premium. Cole Hamels has just been signed. That's another pitcher off the market. I mean, teams want pitching, and if they want pitching, they'll be willing to pay more for it. So James Shields is available. What do you think, Mike? Is Shields getting moved?
No. And tell you what, James Shields may get moved in the offseason. That's when you get full value for James Shields. You don't get full value for him right now with 2 months left in the year. And you want to drum up interest from a lot of teams. If you got someone who's just going to totally bowl you over for it, and I think they listen to that, but if I'm Tampa Bay and I really want to move James Shields, I'm going to wait till December, and I'm gonna get 12 teams bidding on this, 15 teams, 20 teams bidding on them, and not just the 4, 5, 6 that they may have right now.
Makes a lot of sense. What do you say? What do you say, Hank?
I think James Bookie, James Shields is going to Atlanta by the end of the week.
I think they move him.
I think that this has been out there too long. I think that when we talk about the Braves, you know, I think they looked and seen that Hamels wasn't going to be moved. Dempster turned down the trade. I think, but like Mike said, I think they're concerned about Greinke, and he's left. And I think that he's probably their fourth choice, but I believe the Braves are going to get a pitcher. And I think that they can make an attractive enough deal with Tampa Bay to get James Shields.
All right. You know, I don't see the Braves picking up two pitchers, so that can't possibly work.
Because they already got Greinke.
Exactly. Right. Another pitcher, Josh Johnson. Miami Marlins. It looks like the Marlins are having a fire sale. If it's not tied down, they're moving it. Is Josh Johnson getting moved, Mike?
How can you do that? If you're Miami, you got a new stadium out there you got to fill. I don't see how they trade Josh Johnson. So my answer is no, because they still got to sell tickets.
Hank, what do you say?
I don't think Josh Johnson is the big draw that they want in Miami. I think they're going to move him. I think they've got to do something different in Miami. I think they tried to do the big splash. I don't think it worked. I got him going to the Yankees. I still think the Yankees are looking for an arm. I don't think that James Shields is going to be moved in the division, but I still think the Yankees are going to look for an arm, and I think that he's available. And, again, I don't think Miami is done. And I think that Josh Johnson is going to be moved. New York.
That's interesting. I like him going to the Cardinals. I do think he'll get moved. I can see the Cardinals making a run at Josh Johnson. Now, would you hate that as a Reds fan, Mike, or is Josh Johnson indifferent, whatever?
No. I like Josh Johnson. He's a good player. I'd like him on my team. I worry about him from an injury standpoint and consistency. Also, I worry about a guy that's, making, what, $15 million? He signed through next year for $15 million, I believe. That's a lot of money for a guy that he's got a little iffy health history on him. But when he's on, he's a fantastic pitcher. And, of course, I wouldn't like seeing him pitch for the Cardinals if he's healthy.
All right, let's stay on the mound here. I think this is the last pitcher we got up. Ryan Dempster recently kind of told the Braves they can kick rocks. He didn't want to go to Atlanta. He's got 10-5, right? 10-year veteran, 5 years with one team, so he can pretty much determine where he wants to go. Are the Cubs moving Dempster? And if so, where is he going, Hank?
Yeah, but I think Dempster's pretty much wrote his own check. Dempster's going to Los Angeles or he's staying in Chicago. I think that we keep talking about this ownership in Los Angeles. If that's where he's going, they're going to try to make a move there. Now, obviously, there's something in Los Angeles that just doesn't intrigue Epstein in Chicago, because I would have think that that's where they would have probably went first. But I think they're going to get something done, and I think that he is going to be in Los Angeles.
Mike, you agree?
I think it's a pretty short list, and I would go with I'd go with the White Sox or the Dodgers on this one. And if the Dodgers don't want to do it, Kenny Williams already got Zach Greinke. I don't know that he needs Ryan Dempster as well, but here's another thing with Ryan Dempster. Here's a guy who's pitching his lights out, but man, do you really want to give a lot up for Ryan Dempster? I mean, if you're in the playoffs and it's game one, game two, you want to throw Ryan Dempster out there? A money pitcher. I mean, he may have good stats, but, you know, eh.
You're really looking
playoffs.
For somebody out
we'll
there to kind of just compliment Gesicki.
You kidding me?
You know, you're looking for somebody that's trying to compliment Kershaw right now, you know. And right now, you know, you do have a veteran presence on a young team if he goes there. He is pitching the lights out, and you got to get that lightning in the bottle if you can, if you're Los Angeles, in my opinion.
Now, you just want to win that bet, Hank.
You're right. I want that pop.
All right. We talked about this guy. Mike really talked about this guy a whole lot. Hunter Pence. Mike, we know you love the guy. You know you think he's a 10-tool player. Are the Phillies going to move the next coming of Al Kaline?
they shouldn't. Why would you move Hunter Pence? He's a guy who's 28, 27 years old. He's under contract, I believe, for a couple more years. You got a lot of old players on that team. Trade Chase Utley. Trade Jimmy Rollins. Trade Victorino. Trade Howard.
Hold on.
I don't
think they can move Chase Utley and Ryan Howard.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're gonna trade somebody and try to reload on your team a little bit, Hunter Pence is a guy that could be with your team and productive for the next 7-8 years. So
yeah,
I would love it to take him away from them, but if I'm the Phillies, man, why would
I think they're talking about moving him because he's the only guy with value.
And that may be it, but how many bloated contracts of guys who are playing under the contract can you have? Eventually, if the Phillies do have the checkbook that they say they do, they're going to trade these guys and pay, you know, to get them off the roster and get them moving. So I don't expect Hunter Pence to be traded, but if he did, man, I would love it if my team was in it. That would be a good.
Go ahead.
That would be a good fit. I would, and I believe Pence plays right, but if the Reds could get him to play left, that would be fantastic for me to see him in left field. The problem is he makes too much money for the Reds. They can't do it.
Yeah, man. If they could find somebody to take Ryan Howard at $25 million a year, believe me, they'd do it.
Yeah. And you know what? And let me add this name to this because we talked about Pittsburgh as a team that needed to add somebody. Let me throw this out there: the Cubs are in town this week and almost swept them. What do you think about the Cubs paying about 80% of Soriano's salary and letting him play left field for Pittsburgh?
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be enough.
I did see a report that one team is interested in Soriano. They didn't say who it was, but one team is interested. Hank, we got about a minute and a half left. Shane Victorino, is he getting moved?
Yes. Shane Victorino is getting moved. I don't think that Philadelphia gets rid of both Hunter Pence and Shane Victorino. I think they're going to keep Hunter Pence because he is young and he does have value. I think Shane Victorino was gone. And as I said earlier, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm doing whatever I can to get him in my outfield. So that's who I'm saying they're going to go with, Pittsburgh.
Mike, Shane, is he moving or staying?
Yeah. Actually, what I heard out there is Cincy and Pittsburgh were both heavy on him. They were talking about a reliever coming back, Logan Andruzic, which is a young 6'8 right-hander, really not pitching a lot for the Reds right now, but a sub-3 ERA. I think Victorino's definitely getting moved.
You like Victorino on the Reds?
You know what? Let me tell you this. Obviously, right now, I'm following the Reds game, and they started a lineup tonight without Phillips and without Votto, who's out, and they've got one guy in the starting lineup who's hitting more than 250, and that's Todd Frazier. One guy hitting over 250 in that lineup. They got to have a guy who can get on base, who can slap the ball around. Victorino was not who he was 2 years ago, but he's still a solid player, and the Reds need somebody like that.
All right, I got to jump in. We got 10 seconds left. Want to thank everybody for listening to another week of Inside the Park. Check us out next week. Download us on iTunes. Keep listening for the USA Basketball Special coming on in a minute. Peace.
Y'all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I think we're still on.
Huh?
Are we muted?
I don't know.
No, we got the live microphone light on.
Can you mute us, Mike?
I can. You want me to move to the yellow?